Welcome back to the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download it wherever you get your favorite apps, the Odyssey, Apple App Store, the Google Play Store. Look for the big orange background with the A, Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it, search for WILK News Radio, favorite us, and that's it. You got us. And you can also get us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. New podcasts come out on a daily basis. They're based on the show, split up into different segments. We do between 3 and 5 podcasts each day. It is 91 degrees here, coming up on 5:10 on this Monday, July 28th, 2025. It's already 5 o'clock. You made it through Monday, see? Not too bad, right? Well, it is the heart of summer. For some people, it might even be winding down. Yes, you people in college and your teachers out there, you're on the downslope now. So you may want to get one of those, what do they call them, vacations in. Yes, I know. It's few and far between for a lot of us. And here's my quinundrum is it's going to be the missus in my 30th anniversary in just under 3 months in October. And we're deciding, what do we want to do? She's thrown around Aruba. She's thrown around Turks and Caicos. She wants to go somewhere with a beach, sit under an umbrella, and drink drinks with umbrellas in them. So we're kind of throwing that around. And then my son, his wife, and our grandson will be taking their first trip to Disney. And that's going to take place the end of September, October-ish. I don't think they're set in stone on a date yet. So we're like, what do we want to do? What are we going to do? Where are we going? So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. That being said, since it's the middle of the summer and a lot of people are in the same mindset, what are we going to do? We don't want to deal with a lot of people. We don't like crowds. Do we want to go to a beach? Do we want to go to the mountains? Do we want to go camping? Do we want to freshwater, saltwater? You know, a cruise, wherever it is. Well, I saw this story and I figured it'd be helpful. It's the 15 most overcrowded tourist destinations revealed. Is one of your favorite vacation spots among them. So we will we'll go through them here in a little bit, and if it helps you out a little bit. Greece was also one of the ones that my wife and I discussed. I do have to renew my passport for either Aruba, Turks and Caicos, or Curaçao, or Greece, but I think I probably have to do that anyway. Well, some of these surprised me. And again, this is a new ranking by Go to Africa. So I would assume they're trying to get you to go to Africa about telling you other places are more crowded. Vatican City, the world's smallest country by both area and population, tops the list. Despite the population of this sovereign city-state, with Rome being only within Rome, being only 882 residents, the spiritual heart of Catholicism welcomes an astounding 6.8 million tourists a year. That equates to a staggering 7,709,000 visitors for every local. Clear reflection that the city-state's immense religious and historical draw. Now, a lot of people aren't going to just Vatican City. They're actually going to Rome. So, that being said, expect it to be crowded. And I have not heard anyone that's ever been there, and I've had, you know, my kids and friends go there, and it's always been packed. You know, especially the fact that they just installed a new pope recently, you know, probably more so. Nestled in the Pyrenees between France and Spain, the mountainous principality of Andorra takes the second spot. Andorra. Didn't even hear about it to this story. Best known for its ski resort and tax-free shopping, this southwestern European country sees around 9.6 million tourists each year. With a population just under 82,000, that means there are 117 tourists for every resident. Another European mountainous microstate, San Marino, takes third on the list. With only 33,581 residents, it attracts 2 million tourists annually. Known for its medieval architecture, scenic hilltop views, San Marino hosts 59.56 tourists per local. The fourth place is the Bahamas, the sun-soaked Caribbean paradise. Although home to just over 400,000 people, the island's nation becomes more than 11.2 million visitors each year, equivalent to 27.96 tourists per resident. The crystal clear waters, sandy beaches remain a major pull for international travelers. I've been to the Bahamas many times. I actually lived there for a few months. And I did see the change in population and in tourism and Americans and people from all over the world buying second homes there as well. The tropical Caribbean country, St. Kitts and Nevis, rounded out the top five. It has a population of 46,000, draws almost a million visitors annually. The dual island nation sees 18.68 tourists per resident. Lush scenery, tranquil beaches have made it a celebrity favorite, most famously with Princess Diana. So these findings highlight the growing impact. So let me see. Vatican City's number one. We have Andorra, number two. San Marino, three. The Bahamas, four. St. Kitts and Nevis at five. Antigua and Barbuda at six. Bahrain, number seven. They get 14.9 million tourists a year. Monaco after that. At number eight, Malta. Number nine, Hong Kong. 44 million tourists a year in Hong Kong. That's including a local population of 7.4 million. Iceland at number 12, number 11. Croatia at number 12. Again, with a population of almost 3.9 million. They see 21 million tourists a year. I actually know someone that's there now. Barbados at number 13 and Switzerland at number 14. And Grenada, the island of Grenada, 15, rounding out the top 15 list. A local population of only 117,000. They see about 500,000 tourists per year. So if you're looking to go somewhere, want to be on the quieter side of things, there's your list of the most populated ones per this list. And I'm sure there's many others. It's interesting because with my kids and grandkids looking to go to Disney World, which, you know, you look at the calendar at Disney World, when is it least busy or most busy? And there's only one day in the entire year where it's green, which means it's under capacity. Yellow is below, or blue. Blue is below. Yellow is average. Orange is above average. And red is its peak season packed. I went through the calendar only one. When I used to look when my kids were young, Disney World had a few weeks in the greens and yellows, or greens and blues. Now, only one day. It was a Sunday. I forget which month it was in. I think it was in April. A Sunday in April. It was the only day it was green. Other than that, every other day. Now, the end of September, October, when they're looking at going, it was some yellows and blues, which are average and just below average. But it's amazing how that's changed in such time where there were full weeks of low capacity there, but it's become such a demand, and that's why their prices keep going up, and they keep demanding more and more money for their ticket prices. So we'll see. Maybe we'll figure out. Keep procrastinating, but I got to figure out where the missus and I are going to go for our anniversary. 30 years. That's a big one. Got to do something. And again, she wants to feel sand in her toes, relax, and have some crystal clear warm water. So we'll figure it out. We thought about the Keys. And then, one of our favorites, the Pensacola Orange Beach area. But she wants to go a little more above and beyond than what we would normally go. So that's why it got me looking at these tourist spots and what's crowded and what's not crowded. And when I saw this story from the New York Post, It's amazing. Vatican City is number one, the most crowded. But again, think about anyone you know who's ever been there. It's always been above and beyond crowded from every picture I've ever seen and every story I've heard. So we'll see there. If you planning to do anything this summer with the few weeks that are left in summer, if you are an educator, teacher, your kids are going back to college, your kids are going back to school, you know, where are you planning to go with the couple of weeks we have remaining of summer? What do we got? 4 weeks, the end of this week. Friday is August already. So text it in, 570-883-0098. Let me know where you're planning to go. Maybe it'll give me an idea. I say, yeah, that's a good place to be. That's a nice place. So, you know, I'm kind of boring. Used to go to Mexico a lot. Used to go to the Bahamas a lot. Been to Bermuda. Been to Europe, Ireland, of course. So, you know, I'm one of these people that know that there's plenty of gorgeous places here in the United States or the United States territories. So there's no need to go to other places. Yes, it would be easy to go to the Dominican Republic, one of those all-inclusive places. But, you know, why when we have such beautiful places here? You know, it would be inexpensive, of course, with all the all-inclusive places. They would be nice. You know, I know plenty of people here. People from the office here go all the time. But, you know, that's why I'm thinking more of the Keys, more somewhere else. That maybe not too crowded. You know, September, October, you're probably not dealing with the crowds that you would normally be dealing with. And that's a good thing. That's what I want. Laid back and slow. That's where I'm at this day and age. It is coming up on 521 here. Let me tell you about the Good Feet store located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard. Across from the Olive Garden. I've had them in my soles of my shoes for the past over 2 years now. 2 years, probably a few months. And I would not go anywhere without them. There is no way I'd be wearing them or taking the time to switch them from shoes to shoes at this date in the game if I did not believe in them, if they did not work. It's as simple as that. There's no waiting. Their arch supports are immediately available. And you can experience the difference today with a free test walk in one of their showrooms. And like, again, one here, right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard. What I like about them, they're proudly made in the USA, and that's one of the things they touted when I was trying them on and we were seeing what worked best for me. So visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. You can call them at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com, because just like me, you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. I could have sworn I saw Jake dancing in his studio over there, waving his fingers in the air, doing circles. I saw you, Jake. Don't you... don't you think you're covering it up for it? Spin that camera around and show you guys what's going on. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone now. We have a Jim from Wilkes-Barre. Jim.
Hey, Rob. How you been?
How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, as usual. Tired, cranky, needing a nap, overworked, underpaid.
It's about that time, right?
Yep. But I called you because I learned something new today. And for someone my age, that's rather remarkable. Did you know that, for example, and hypothetically speaking, if a group of people got together in, say, 2016, I'm not going to name any names, but they engaged in a conspiracy to, rig an election maybe, or Russian collusion, you know, stuff like that, and it was an ongoing conspiracy. Did you know the statute of limitations does not start until the last element of that conspiracy has passed by? And did you also know that if just one person who was involved in that conspiracy continues that conspiracy, then all others are equally as guilty? And did you also know, hypothetically speaking, that if one of those individuals was the president of the United States, and while he was in office, he was shielded from prosecution. But if a member of the conspiracy committed further conspiratorial acts after he left the presidency, he's just as guilty. Did you know all that?
I did not know all of that. I do know that it also could entail RICO because of the conglomerate nature of the investigation.
So we're sailing in new, different, and interesting times. Could Obama actually be indicted?
Honestly, between you and I and no one else listening here, I think it's never going to happen. But stranger things have happened over the past decade, so.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting my hopes up. I don't think Obama's going to take a hit, but I could see Clapper going, Comey, Brennan, most especially Brennan.
Yeah, there may be, depending on what the outcome. And I really wish this wasn't done in the public perception. I really wish this was done with the Department of Justice behind closed doors with a proper investigation the way it should be. And if you have enough to charge somebody, that's the first we should find out about it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because, you know, like that, you get hopes up high. People say it'll never happen. People say it will happen. Then they'll say it's a conspiracy because it didn't happen. Well, it's a conspiracy because you're leaking the information out to begin with. I just wish it would work the way it should have worked in 2016, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, 80 years ago, to where let the investigation take place. And if there's enough there, bring it before a grand jury, charge them, and let it work its way out in court.
Yeah. I mean, and we've seen it in other things, too, you know, all the publicity. Like, well, for example, the Epstein thing. There were so many different conspiracy theories going into this election, and in order for it to kind of pass or, you know, just fade from sight, every one of them, every conspiracy theory attributed to the Epstein case, you would have to have done one of two things: proven the conspiracy was correct or disproven it beyond the shadow of a doubt. Two impossible acts.
Yep. And that's why I'm not a fan of them interviewing Maxwell now, because she could literally say anything she wants and most of it can't be challenged or proven or disproven. So at this stage in the game, is it useful for anything rather than a media cycle? No. But that being said, stop telling me time and time again there's a smoking gun, and both sides do this. Stop telling me there's a smoking gun and nothing ever comes to fruition with it, because either investigate it behind closed doors and either rule it out or don't rule it out. And when you charge somebody, well, then tell us there's a smoking gun. But until then, it's just a bunch of noise and nonsense.
Yeah, it's like they're saying Trump was deeply involved with Epstein's activities. Trust me. If there was anything that would have alluded to that, Biden and his flying monkeys would have had it in the media on day one.
Yeah, that's just all ridiculous, because the same Department of Justice, but under the Biden administration, had all the same information and nothing was brought out. Now, all of a sudden, it's breaking news and we all have to give it a thought and somebody's trying to hide something. Listen, this information's been there for over a decade now, so I don't want to hear the nonsense. Matter of fact, I'd rather not hear about it at all. You have good investigators investigating it. Let them do their job, and if there's a smoking gun, then charge it by a grand jury, and then we'll know it's happening when people show up and put somebody in handcuffs.
And actually, if you think about it, the information's been out there since 2009 or 10.
Yeah.
Because so from Obama on, if there was something there, Obama or Biden would have put it out.
Yeah, I mean, them pointing the fingers now that this person hung out with this person or this person knew more from there. Yeah, listen, if you take the time to dig into it, were they friendly at one point? Yes, but Donald Trump distanced himself from Jeffrey Epstein before the first case even came to fruition, where no one else really did. Till later, till the chips started to fall apart. But it's just all a bunch of noise and nonsense on both ends, for Obama, for Clapper, for Brennan, all of them. Will we see a sacrificial lamb? Maybe. Who that is, it's Brennan or Clapper are probably the more realistic views there. And I think Clapper's actually has shown his hand that he is a little nervous about what's going on, because he is the low on that totem pole, you know, him and Brennan. So, again, I don't even think I don't want to talk about them either. You know, if there's enough information, bring it to a grand jury and charge them.
Yeah, but I just thought you might find some of that information interesting.
No, you did, about the statute of limitations and how it actually falls in legally. Like I said, I haven't given this whole thing. I think the entire Jeffrey Epstein is, listen, the guy's dead. Most of the things that they even talk about can't be corroborated because the guy who can corroborate them is dead. So, you know, where are we going with this? As far as the things that you're bringing up with the Russian collusion and the intelligence was saying one thing and it was changed to portray another, and of course the media ran with it. Well, there, I think there's a lot more there. You start putting those people under oath. You start bringing them in and depose them. Listen, they could plead the fifth, yes, but okay. Then if you think you have the evidence enough to charge them, charge them.
Well, one thing I've noticed in over my years is when somebody's facing an investigative grand jury, they tend to, you know, and facing prison time, they tend to talk quite a bit.
They do indeed. That's why I'm saying this should be a confidential investigation. Call them in with their attorneys, depose them, have them speak before a grand jury, and let the chips fall where they may. If there's nothing after that, then listen, you rolled the dice. You didn't get enough to an indictment. Move on.
Yep. Well, Rob, thanks for taking the call. I got to run.
All right, Jim. Thanks for checking in. Yep. It's 5:34 here. Almost 5:35 here at WILK. We'll be back. Got a couple of text messages coming in about, people, what are they planning for vacation? Wellesley Island, New York, Jamaica. Somebody, 25th anniversary, they hiked and sailed the coast of Italy. Can't beat Italy's food. And I said, we've tossed around the idea of Greece, and Greece is also on their bucket list maybe for their 40th. I will be up in Lake George area next weekend. So not sure where Wellesley Island is, but if it's up there in the Thousand Islands area, very similar. We'll be up in the Lake George region next weekend. Hopefully it's warm enough to get out on the boat. If not, we'll make do and make the best as we can up there. Maybe go to the racetrack at Saratoga and a couple other things. Always love it up there. So if you are feeling an air quality issue, New York City is, and it's again because of the Canadian wildfires. And they say it's affecting a lot of the Northeast. It's more east of us, more so, but it's just based on the wind direction. So if you think you're feeling it in the air, seeing a little difference, this morning it was quite foggy, and I did see some orangish, yellowish tinge the other day. But I really haven't smelt anything different or seen it. But if you have, a lot of people are more sensitive than me. It's, again, because I think there's over 500 Canadian wildfires again, and they've been getting beat up every year with their wildfires. So just so you know what it is, and if you want to keep an eye on the air quality, there's plenty of monitoring sites that do that to let you know. So if you're sensitive or not, maybe a face covering or something to help you out. Excuse me, it's 5:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back as we start to wind things down here at WILK News Radio. It's 5:46 here, 91 degrees outside. Beautiful evening tonight. Do something outside. Go for a walk with someone special in your life. Tell them you love them. Tell them you care about them. If it's a buddy, hey, tell them they mean something special to you. You don't have to tell them you love them. But that's not a bad thing to tell them either. Jake, I'm not going to get into details with you because I don't want to know any details. Just a simple thumbs up or thumbs down. I know you watched the new Happy Gilmore too. I've heard a lot of good things. Now, I heard it's corny. I heard it's got a lot of cliches, a lot of cameos, but it's everything you thought it was going to be and then some, and they laughed the entire time. So yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up. Okay. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I don't have Netflix, but my son does. We were going to try and watch it, but by the time it's too late, it's almost 2 hours long, which I thought for sure it'd be a lot less than that. I figure an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes, but it was almost 2 hours long. So we never got a chance to put it on or watch it. They're going to be up to our house sometime this month coming up. So we figure we'll just watch it one night when we have some more time to do it. So I'm going to get to see it, but it'll probably be later in August.
Two words, John Daly.
John Daly.
He was hilarious in the movie.
Yeah. All right. Again, no more than that. But I hear good things. You know, I hear how corny it is, how cliche it is, and how, you know, it just feeds off a lot of the first one. But I think that's what everybody expects when you see a Happy Gilmore. I did, because it's all over the news, I will talk. He did do a cameo of one of his co-stars that lost their lives from the Grown Up series. And I read a couple of stories up on it. Not only did people pick up on it and thought it was really good of him to do, but I did look on the business aspect of that. I don't know his name. It was one of his sons in the Grown Up movies. I believe it was the older son in the Grown Ups movies, 1 and 2. And he passed away from a medical condition, had a seizure in his sleep at the age of 20 and passed away. And that's one of the reasons why Adam Sandler will not do another Grown Ups movie. I think there was a Grown Ups 3 in development, but they will not do it because of that. But in two of his movies now, he has featured something on this young man. And one of the financial things that hasn't been discussed, but when I looked into it, the fact that his likeness is in the movies, his estate now gets residuals from this movie to help his family and his estate and such like that. So that's a good move on his part. Adam Sandler also has his real wife and his daughters in this movie as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's good to hear that Jake gave it a thumbs up. If Jake gives it a thumbs up, it's a thumbs up for me. Somebody texts in, you never did tell us about your daughter's Jeep purchase. I want to hear. I got in a lot of trouble about talking about that on Friday from the cartoon characters out there. She did buy her new Jeep. She's a 2025 four-door Jeep Wrangler in Juice. The color is J-O-O-S-E. Juice is the way they say it. J-O-O-S-E. It's orange. So somebody else texted, but she is the owner of a 2025 Jeep Wrangler, and she has the payments and insurance now that come with it. So adulting 101 sucks, doesn't it? Got a text message in. Happy Gilmore 2 is funny, and Jake is right about John Daly. All right. I'm looking forward to it. Before we wind down this day on a more of a serious note, because this is an important topic, and I might even talk about this again later in the week, there's breakthroughs on two FDA-approved drugs are found to reverse Alzheimer, including restoring some memory. In a stunning scientific discovery, researchers have found that a pair of drugs can not only slow down the Alzheimer disease, but actually reverses it and restores some memory in mice. Again, this is in testing stages. The best part of it, they both already FDA approved, albeit for cancer. Researchers first pinpointed how Alzheimer's disease scrambles gene activity in individual brain cells. Using the Connective Map database of 1,300 FDA approved drugs, researchers looked for medications that reverse Alzheimer's associated gene expression, landing on a short list of five and zeroing in on two cancer drugs. In what one researcher called a mock clinical trial, they then mined 1.4 patients' medical records, finding that those who had taken letrozole and ironekin for cancer were significantly less likely to develop Alzheimer's. When given both together in an aggressive Alzheimer's mouse model, letrozole used to treat certain types of breast cancer and postmenopausal women, and irotecin, an anti-cancer medication used to treat colon cancer and small cell lung cancer, reversed disease-related gene expression signatures, dissolved toxic protein clumps, and prevented brain degeneration. Most importantly, they restored memory and learning in mice that already developed severe symptoms. It's an exciting development for an illness that notoriously tricky. Alzheimer's disease comes with complex changes to the brain, which has made it a tough study to treat, but our comprehensive tools open the possibility for tackling the complexity directly, said the interim director at UCSF Baker Computational Health Science Institute. We're excited for the computational approach led us to a potential combination therapy of Alzheimer-based existing FDA-approved medications. Alzheimer is likely the result of numerous alterations in many genes and proteins that together disrupt brain health, said a professor of neurology and pathology at UCSF. This makes it very challenging for drug development, which traditionally produces one drug for a single gene or protein that drives disease. The findings were published in the journal. Both drugs are already FDA approved for other uses, which could dramatically speed up the path to human trials. However, because they are cancer drugs, repurposing them may be complex and risky. This finding adds the growing number of potential Alzheimer treatments. A compound found in rosemary and sage, carnosic acid, has been shown to reverse memory loss and reduce brain inflammation in mice with Alzheimer's, bringing their cognitive function back to near normal levels. A study from Stanford Medicine found that seniors who received the shingles vaccine were 20% less likely to develop dementia over 7 years, and researchers at Penn State and Stanford University discovered that certain cancer drugs could restore memory and brain function in early-stage Alzheimer's models. The fact that these are already FDA-approved drugs, and again, because they're cancer drugs, repurposing them can be tricky, but not impossible. You can also have doctors write prescriptions for off-prescription use, especially if they make it to the test stage in human trials. So, good news. This is a disease that has touched a lot of us. As a matter of fact, everyone I'm probably speaking to now has probably dealt with it in one way or another with your parents, grandparents. I know I have. I know my family has. And it's great news that they are making some ground on this and thinking out of the box, taking the gene approach that takes drugs, and for them to map 1,500 different drugs that are out there already that do similar things and come up with a match. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, AI, even though it's not mentioned here, was part of this investigation to narrow that down. But it's good news for everybody. Hope is a good thing. And this seems like a little more than hope because there's scientific data to back this now. And, you know, if you're dealing with someone who's suffering from this and watching their memory slip away from them, it's heartbreaking. It really is. Any hope to that? You know, I know when my dad was dying of cancer and we knew it and he was fighting it and put on the good fight for 5 years. But, you know, there's no cure for it. And you can keep it at bay, but once it starts coming back and then they deal with it and then it comes back even spread more to the point where now it's just a matter of a quality of life and time. And you feel helpless. And I felt helpless. You know, watched my dad take his last breath. Anything they can do to extend that life with anyone suffering from Alzheimer and their loved ones is a great thing. So it's good news on the horizon, and it's not on the too distant horizon, the fact that the classification of these drugs is already approved, and they just need to further their investigation and get it out there. It's 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back to close down the show in just a minute. Well, I actually know somebody who's at the Dallas Cowboys training camp right now and had some discussion with Jake. Tyler Guyton went down at practice, and Mekhi Parsons was helping him to the locker room after he went down. It looks like he's limping on his legs. So unknown of the injury, unknown where it is there, but Jake said he's a big deal. So we'll keep an eye on it. Offensive line, you said, Jake? Yeah, offensive lineman. So if you're a Dallas fan, be on the lookout. Practice continued, so we'll keep an eye on it. Remember, I'm going to be on Court TV tomorrow morning if you get that on your cable channels or on your streaming or wherever you get it. I believe 8:15, we'll be talking about a bunch of cases and the host, Julie Grant, who was on this show last week. That's her show. So, you know, she reached out today to ask me if I'd be on tomorrow morning, and of course I'd be on tomorrow morning. So you can check me out there, not just the voice, but see me too. Other than that, we'll be back tomorrow. and talk about the today's stories and see what else is going on. Hopefully, nothing too crazy. Let's slow the news cycle down a little bit. Let's talk about pleasant things. Let's talk about developments. Let's talk about changes for the better moving forward, right? Because that's what we need a little of. But either way, Jake and I will be here. We will bring you the best news talk radio between 3 and 6, not only tomorrow, but every weekday. So other than that, you guys take care of yourself. Again, try to make the best of tonight. Do something special with someone special in your life. God bless, be safe, and we will see you tomorrow.